Welcome to For Self-Examination. I'm your host, Dr. Christopher Taylor, and today is Monday. And that means today is all about you. No matter where you are in the world, no matter what you are going through, I want you to know that it is okay, and that you are right where you are supposed to be. Take a deep breath. Relax and let the world slip away. Give yourself permission to make today all about you and let yourself be open to new inspirations. Welcome back to For Self-Examination. I am your host, Dr. Christopher Taylor, and today is Monday. So we're here today, this week, talking about relationships and singleness. Valentine's Day is coming up pretty quick for you, I think, next week. And so maybe you have a relationship that you're looking forward to, maybe a date that you're looking forward to, but maybe you're not. Maybe you're single and you're just trying to kind of make the best of it. That's okay. But this week is very exciting. It's part one of a two-part interview with Amanda and Allison in our Dallas office. They are both amazing therapists, and we are so very lucky to have them here at Taylor Counseling Group. A little bit about Allison. She focuses on adolescent therapy, body image issues, and eating disorders. She also works a lot with depression and anxiety and some trauma. She received her undergraduate degree in psychology from the University of New Mexico and her master's in biblical counseling from Dallas Seminary. She is also certified in Prepare and Rich, which is a great premarital program. And she has extensive experience treating adolescents in both inpatient and outpatient settings, including working with inpatient children and adolescents 2 to 12. 2 is very young, so that must have been very trying work. And she worked at Cook's Children's Hospital while doing this fantastic work. She also has a lot of experience leading groups, group therapy related to body image and eating disorders. And she adopts a holistic approach in her practice and seeks to address her patients' psychological and mental, as well as physical challenges. She is very interested in the interconnection of health, nutrition, and wellness. Amanda, another amazing therapist at our Dallas office. She obtained her bachelor's degree with a major in psychology at Austin College and her master's in counseling psychology at Texas Women's University. Amanda joined the TCG team because she believes that we share her core values, and she enjoys collaborating with her clients and helping them to grow and achieve their goals. She has a lot of experience working with a diverse range of clients, including inpatient and outpatient settings. And she has a great deal of passion with addiction and substance and behavioral issues, including eating disorders, anxiety, and depression, as well as personality disorders, which is not an easy area to work in. So we appreciate that, Amanda, and your utilization of CBT, ACT, and DBT in your work with your clients. I'm not going to say much more here. Both Amanda and Allison are fantastic, amazing therapists, and I think we're just going to jump right into the interview. So I hope you enjoy, and after this short little one-minute clip, we'll be right back. If you've enjoyed this podcast, don't keep it a secret. Share it with your friends and family. Tell everyone. Put it on Twitter. We'd love it if you give us a 5-star rating and a review. We always love feedback. And then, of course, like and subscribe to make sure you don't miss an episode. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get yours. And as a reminder, Taylor Counseling Group is in the DFW area with offices from Dallas to Fort Worth and in Waxahachie as well. We are also now in the Houston and San Antonio areas as well. So if you or somebody you know might be interested in getting some counseling, feel free to give us a call, 214 214- 530-0021. You can send us an email, info@taylorcounselinggroup.com, and you can look us up on the web at taylorcounselinggroup.com. You can find us on Twitter as well, at @TCG_Dallas. So if you need us, we're here, but if not, no worries. I just hope you enjoy the show. Okay, welcome to the podcast, everybody. We are here with Amanda and Allison. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Thank you both so much for being here. We're really excited to have you on the show. We have, Amanda, you've been on the show before when we talked about Snapchat before, right?
I have. We talked about FOMO.
Yeah, the FOMO. That was a fun episode.
That was a fun episode.
And then Allison, this is your first time on the podcast, right?
Yes. Yes, I am the rookie here today.
The rookie. Well, welcome. Welcome. So this episode is, you know, we're in this middle of the series on relationships. So we're talking about singleness and then also dating in a relationship. It's February. Valentine's Day is this Friday. Everyone is madly in love. No one's single in the world. And everything's perfect. And everybody has a restaurant at the best hotel. And the best, a reservation at the best restaurant and the best hotel in town. Is that right?
Yeah. Let us not forget the big tent that is set up outside of Tom Thumb with last minute Valentine's Day gifts. That's my favorite.
But it's a perfect world. So everyone has gotten those already.
Yes. Yes.
No last minute Valentine's gifts. Is this, I mean, this is an accurate depiction of the way the world works, right? I mean, this is accurate.
It's how it feels sometimes.
That's how it feels sometimes. Yeah. So probably not accurate. And today we're going to get into the nitty gritty of how often I think majority of the world probably feels more alone during this week than maybe any other time in the year. And I'm really excited about this episode because this is the first time we've ever had two therapists on at once, which is, we'll see how it goes. We might not do it again. I don't know. We'll see.
It's going to go great. I feel really good about it.
So do I. So first, let's start with Amanda Allison. Tell us about you, your professional careers, your education, all that stuff.
Okay. I will start us off. I've been with Taylor Counseling Group now for 3 years. I work... I don't really like to say I have a primary focus, but I work a lot with eating disorders, adolescents, couples, individuals with anxiety and depression, kind of the whole gamut of everything. So, and I've been with Taylor Counseling Group for about a year now, I think a little over a year. Similarly, I work a lot with eating disorders and addiction and anxiety would be some of my biggest passions, along with personality disorders. Those are some of my big passions. And before that, I worked for adult probation for a while, did a lot of substance abuse counseling, and then worked in the hospital setting with eating disorders for a while.
Wow. Very, very cool stuff. So let's jump right into singleness and relationships. Clinically, professionally, what is your experience with clients? What do you typically see them coming in struggling with relationships and being single?
I think one thing we wanted to make sure we touched on with that I see a lot of clients struggling with is just kind of figuring out what they're seeking in general. I think I see a lot of clients who use dating as a way to find connection because it's so easy. You can hop on a handful of apps at any time in the day, have some conversation with people, set up some dates. It kind of is like a quick fix for seeking connection. When I think what some people might actually be looking for is friendship or community outside of that. And so I know I talk a lot with my clients about what is it that you're really looking for? What's your intention here? And where do you really want to be spending your time? Is it dating or is it maybe looking for some sort of organization to get involved with, to volunteer, getting plugged into a church or taking on some kind of like social activity? My personal favorite is a slow pitch softball, my favorite. But is that the sort of connection that they're actually looking for?
Nice. Do you feel like there is that a lot of people are dating for the wrong reasons?
I think it happens. for sure. Again, I think there are a lot of people that it, especially I see it with clients who have maybe recently moved to the area and don't know a lot of people, or are just transitioning out of like college where you kind of have a built-in friend group around you and not really sure how to fill their time. And dating can be such a quick, seemingly easy way to kind of like fill that time.
Yeah, I like to talk to some of my clients too, because we find that Dallas is a pretty big melting pot of people, right? And so a lot of young professionals move here, but we all work crazy hours. So you really have to be an active participant in seeking friendships. They don't just drop on your doorstep. You have to get involved. You have to meet people. You have to make an effort to build those connections. And I think that should be your foundation before you think about dating, so that you don't go into it for the wrong reasons.
Wow, well said. So build a good foundation first and then start looking into the dating world.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. What do you think clients struggle with most in the dating world? Is it how to find somebody? Is it where do I go? Is it how do I ask somebody out? What do you see is that people struggle with a lot?
I don't see it as how do I ask somebody out? How do I meet people? I would say the big majority of people in Dallas that I have run across all use online dating. And so that's something that we're definitely going to get into, because it can be a good tool to meet people, but it can also be a frustrating process. So how do I navigate that, and how do I make sure that I'm doing that well?
Yeah, I think with that, sometimes the communication piece, like what to share and when to share it, I see a lot of clients struggle with that. So it's one thing to have a few different like first dates in a week, but how do you move those first dates into second, third dates? How do you know when to share different things about yourself to kind of increase that vulnerability and that connection? I see a lot of clients struggle with that and have dates that kind of fizzle out and end up going nowhere. Because they're not sure how to move things past that like initial awkwardness of meeting someone at a local brewery for the first time.
All right. So you feel like clients have there's some ambiguity of how to unroll our vulnerability, our emotional baggage with each other.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you feel like is the precipice for that? What's setting the stage for that?
One thing that I see a lot with people that are, you know, either coming back to online dating world or starting it for the first time is a lot of anxiety wrapped around that first meeting. I feel so anxious. What if it's awkward? What if it doesn't go anywhere? What if they don't call me back? Those are all fears and concerns and frankly things that happen very often. And so something that I really like to say is you're an observer in the beginning. We go into it sometimes thinking, well, what if that other person doesn't like me? And we're trying to fit ourselves into this box and make ourselves appealing to the other person. And we totally forget that it is 50-50. We're also deciding whether or not we like that other person. And so to have a healthy awareness that there is that equal balance and that we are assessing the other person just as much as they're assessing us.
Oh, so they're interviews. The first dates are interviews.
Well, kind of.
No, but, I agree. I think they are.
Piece of, like, you are trying to decide whether you like the other person as well. Like, you know, don't get that.
Absolutely. So you, Allison, let's talk more about online dating, because I think it is extremely relevant right now, definitely in our culture. I read the other day, part of the success of Tinder, if you want to call it success, was that it removed the element of rejection from dating. That you no longer are rejected, you are matched.
Okay. Interesting. I'm not sure I agree with that. I get the idea. You are matching with people, but you kind of have to then start conversation, keep conversation going, actually make it to a first meeting with someone. Mm-hmm. So I think there are a lot of other points along the way that do have opportunity for rejection. So I think that fear for people is still very real, that fear of investing a lot of time into something and it ultimately not going anywhere because of something about yourself.
Interesting. So we have this idea of rejection in the dating world. Do you feel like that creates a large barrier for people to reach out to others?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I have heard many stories of people starting the online dating process and becoming very frustrated after a week, deleting the apps because they have been rejected. And it's something that I like to tell my clients is if you are going to choose online dating as an avenue through which to meet people, you must have two things. You have to have a healthy sense of humor and a healthy self-awareness of all the different factors that go into somebody maybe not reaching back out to you. Because honestly, everybody is talking to multiple people and there are too many factors that play into that to then personalize that rejection that, well, it was me, they didn't like me, that's why they didn't get back to me. And really that can be untrue.
So humor, that's interesting. Let's talk more about that.
Yes. I always try to impart on my clients that, like, first dates, I hear this a lot. Like, what if a conversation is awkward? What if I don't like them? How do I get out of it? And I always like to say, what is the worst thing that can happen? There's awkward silence. There's a lull in conversation. They say something really absurd that you just cannot fathom somebody saying. All those things happen. So I always say, what is the worst thing that can happen? You have a funny story afterwards. I don't know. You just have to have a sense of humor when going into it, knowing the full picture of what online dating actually is.
Amanda, your thoughts on humor?
Yeah, agreed. As y'all were talking, I was thinking I had a client just this past week who shared a story about going on a date, and it was like that. I think it was kind of awkward, and they weren't clicking. Clearly, I think my client realized it wasn't clicking more than the other person did, but just kind of rolled with it and ended up having a lot of fun with it, ended up kind of joking with the bartender where they were at more because they were kind of more on the same page about what was happening, but walked away with like a funny story. So even though it didn't go anywhere, not being frustrated by that and not seeing it as, okay, just another date I went on that's not going to go anywhere, but being able to really be in the moment and enjoy and have some laughter and some humor around it. I thought that was a kind of a great example of that playing out in real life.
Yeah, that's interesting. I never really think of humor so much as being as such an important quality in dating. But I guess that doesn't make a lot of sense when you really think about it, being able to kind of just go with the flow. It sounds like you're both kind of saying that if you're not in a good place individually, personally, dating is going to be a lot more difficult for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
What do you think some of the pitfalls people fall into when they're not in a healthy headspace when they start dating?
I think it can definitely lead to this negative sense of self. If you're already feeling like you're in a low place with your self-esteem, if you're struggling with individual things, that is not a band-aid for that. That can only make it worse, really. And we don't think of that when we go into it. We think, well, maybe if I just meet somebody, then all these things that are going on in my life will be better. But really, the opposite is true, because if we experience any of that rejection, whereas if we were in a healthy headspace, we could understand the other reasons for that. If you're not in a healthy headspace, that can really add to the negative thought processes that are happening in your head about yourself.
Yeah, I think it can lead to poor boundaries in relationships as well. If you're not in a great headspace, then you can kind of lose track of some of that observer quality that I think Allison was talking about earlier, and not seeing that you're kind of looking to see if this person's a good fit for yourself as well. You might end up kind of compromising some of your own values, some of your own wants, your own needs, because of that desire to be in relationship, that desire to be accepted and to belong somewhere. And end up with some poor boundaries, potentially like unhealthy relationships in that way.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So I want to switch topics a little bit, but not a whole lot. I want to continue talking about online dating. But online dating in comparison to, I guess, what we would say now, IRL, is that right? In real life?
You are so right.
Is that what the kids say, IRL?
I think they do.
I always like to tell people we need to DTR this, you know, define the relationship. Which is
I didn't
true.
Even so know what that meant.
We could do a whole podcast on that one.
Just on things kids say.
Just on DTR,
the relationship. In real life, IRL. So we have this online dating world where people are meeting each other, and I do firmly believe that the stigma of online dating has rapidly deteriorated. I remember. Being a product of the 80s, obviously, I remember when this like became a thing. I was still pretty young, and I remember people talking about it, of like meeting people online and everyone thinking, oh my God, that person's probably a serial killer, they're a super weirdo. And that, I think that's just because internet had not caught on to mainstream, kind of like Star Wars, you know, like in the 70s, everyone's like, that's a weird movie. Now everybody watches it, you know. So I think maybe it just needed time to get there. Now it's obviously been normalized a lot. But there are still people that don't do it. And there's a lot of people that are against it. There's a lot of people that have terrible experiences. What's the significant difference between online dating and then just not doing that and just meeting people, what others would say, quote unquote, organically through church or a community center, or I mean, I don't know, where else do people meet people? The shopping market, I don't know.
The dog park.
There you go. That's a good one. Yeah, the dog park. So where? I guess you have to get a dog or borrow a dog. Where do people meet people? How does this work?
I think both online dating and IRL, if that's what we're calling it, I think they both require that level of patience as well. It can definitely take time and a lot of intentionality, but I'm glad you brought that up because I think it's really important to like kind of validate for some people. I think online dating, it's not all good and it's not all bad, but it's not for everyone necessarily. And if it's not a fit for you, if it doesn't feel like that's working, that's okay. It's more than okay to seek something more organic that kind of happens in your day-to-day life. I think it means, I know both Allison and I do a lot of work with our clients around kind of like clarifying, identifying their values and making sure you're taking steps towards what's of value to you. And I say sometimes, and I know it sounds really cliche, but the more steps you're taking towards your identified values, I think the more likely you are to be meeting people who share those similar values, who see you taking those steps and really respect that and want to be a part of that. And I think that's such a beautiful thing. So I think it's more than okay to like focus instead of swiping on different apps to be spending your time doing some of the stuff that you named in that, whether it be church or some sort of like organization, whether it be a gym that you're really connected into, just like getting plugged into some community in different ways. And that can definitely be a way to meet people as well.
That's so interesting. There's a couple things there you said that I wanted to touch on. One, this idea of values, I love. We obviously, as an existential psychotherapist, we're all about value-based identity. But we view, you know, values as the building blocks, the atoms of identity. What I love about that is a mentor of mine told me a long time ago that when we're kids, it's really easy to make friends because we discover interests together. But when we get older, we already have interests and values. And so it becomes harder to make friends because we try to find people around us that now share those same interests and values. And so I think that's probably very true in the dating world too, is it's super easy to find people around you. There's a ton of available people near you, I'm sure, in your apartment complex or in your neighborhood or at your church or gym or the dog park or the zoo or wherever you are. But to find people that share values and your values to a very high degree, that's very on point. I like that a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, and I think it's where the singleness aspect of things outside of dating can be hard. It can be scary. It can be lonely in a lot of ways, but it can also be really beautiful because there can be so much opportunity in that singleness to really pursue those things that are of value to you and see who you meet along the way. So I enjoy that.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and piggyback off that too. I hear a lot of, well, I'm lonely. I go home after work. I don't have anybody to hang out with. On the weekends, I'm lonely because I don't have, you know, maybe my friends all are in relationships and, you know, I don't have anything to do. I really try to press the idea of solitude over loneliness because I think that solitude is an important art to learn. But solitude can also mean, you know, being by yourself, but maybe going and engaging in activities where, like Amanda said, you would find people that have similar values to you. So I really think that we need to kind of kick out this idea of loneliness and really think about, like, what does solitude mean and how can I be a whole person in that? Understanding what that means and getting in tune with myself in that process and knowing who I am as a person so that I can better find somebody that fits that, you know?
That's great. I love that. I love the saying, alone, not lonely.
Yes.
You're alone. It doesn't necessarily mean you are lonely. And that's fantastic for me. In grad school, I kind of was struggling with that a little bit of wanting to do more things that I enjoy, but I always kind of had the stigma of partners, you know? And one of the things for me, I always thought was, looking back on it, so silly, but going to the movies, going to the movies, right? Like, I love the movies. I love going to the movies. I love popcorn and, like, put some peanut M&Ms in there. Don't judge. It's my thing. maybe get a Sprite. Now you can order booze, so it's like, yes, thank you. You couldn't back in the day. Like, that was, like, a crazy idea, you know? And so I go and like watch my movie and I would always like be so paranoid to go by myself because I thought like in my mind, in my super egotistical world, that I am the center of, I assumed everybody in the theater, all 200 people in the theater were like, that guy's here by himself. That guy's got no friends. Yeah. That guy's lonely, you know? And I'm like, nobody is thinking you're all here to watch the movie. Nobody cares. So yeah. I really pushed myself in grad school to be like, you know what? I'm not going to let my aloneness, not my loneliness, but my aloneness stop me from enjoying the things that I love to do. And then it created this like wonderful experience for me because then I realized over time that one, I didn't have to talk to anybody. Like, I didn't have to deal with somebody leaning over to me like my mother-in-law does now. Like, what did he say? What did he say? I'm like, just watch the movie. You know, don't have to deal with that. Don't have to worry about showing up late because, you know, so-and-so, your date or whoever was running late or the dog pooed on the carpet again. You had to clean it up before you could leave, you know, or your toddler pooed on the carpet again and you had to clean it up before you leave. You know, like, whatever your issue is, you know. So you don't have to deal with any of that stuff. You get to show up when you want to show up. You can show up halfway through the stupid previews that go on for 20 minutes now, or you can just show up, you know, 20 minutes early if you want, like Alamo, 30 minutes early and watch the silly videos. And then you can just like beeline it to your car when the credits are there. You don't have to worry about nothing. You got to wait for nobody to get their coat. You know, it was just like glorious. And that was like this invitation for me to start doing more and more things alone that I loved, like going to dog parks and going to have dinner at a restaurant that I might want to go have dinner at without somebody, you know, which is a trending topic now amongst millennials. We see a lot more of that happening, which I'm excited to see.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. I think it's that idea of like cultivating relationship with self as well. And the more of that relationship, really healthy relationship with yourself that you have, then when you do approach things like dating, you're coming at it from that healthier headspace that we talked about.
That's great. So we're running out of time, but I do want to touch briefly on relationships, dating in the relationship. What's really significantly different between dating, being single, and then being in a relationship now, not married, pre-married, common law or whatever you want to call it, but actually in this sort of like relationship where it's committed and you guys are a couple, what do you see change a lot with people?
Yeah, so we're kind of talking about going past the initial couple of dates of like, oh, I like you, let's go out again, to now I'm kind of determining, like, do I want to continue this relationship? How do we match? Something I always like to say to people is character is determined by words and actions aligning over time. And so really in this kind of, we take the observer role farther into dating. We learn somebody's character by their words and actions, either aligning or not aligning over time. And so I think that is, you know, a very important thing. I'm going to give a plug. I always recommend Henry Cloud's How to Find a Date Worth Keeping book. I think it's phenomenal. I think everybody should read it at age like 15, because he really talks about the different stages of dating like we are, you know, discussing now. To kind of give you a boundary in that, like, when do I know that I'm entering the second stage of dating, and what should I be mindful of in that process?
Yeah, I think some other things that come up along the way once you kind of moved into that dating area, some of the things I see with clients is trust, like navigating trust. The more and more time you spend with someone, the more committed the relationship becomes. Sometimes past issues from other relationships come to the surface. And so it's navigating, how do I learn how to communicate my wants and needs, and how do I learn how to build trust with this person? And then I think too, like, balancing time becomes a thing I see a lot of people struggle with. So now I've moved into relationship. How do I make space for this really significant relationship in my life and keep time for those things that were my foundation that we talked about? How do I keep time for things like my other friends? How do I keep time for things that are of value and of service to me that my partner might not align with? So making sure you still have that, you have that togetherness, but you still have that separateness as well. You still have that aloneness, and can do those things for self.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So let's kind of wrap this up. What I'm hearing you guys say is, rule number one, before you start dating, before you get into serious relationships, spend time on you. Know who you are. Develop healthy self-awareness. Obviously, we're not saying that you need to become the Dalai Lama and have all your stuff together, right? You can obviously not have all of your stuff together, but have a healthy degree of self-awareness and just be aware of where your struggles are, I think probably is the best way to say it. Know that you struggle maybe a little bit with codependence. Know that you struggle maybe a little bit with body image or whatever, so that you're aware of these things when you go into the dating relationship. And then when you start dating, just be smart about dating, right? That's kind of what we're saying.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Smart. Intentional. All my clients out there listening are so tired of hearing me say the word intentional, but I think being really intentional in that way.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I love intentionality. So I think that's a great way to say it. So be self-aware, be intentional, have a good sense of humor, and know that if it doesn't work out, it's not the end of the world.
Right. Exactly.
And also, I think it's really important for everybody listening to know that it is absolutely 100% okay to be single. It is okay to be single in high school. It is okay to be single outside of high school and college. It is okay to be single in your 20s. It is okay to be single in your 30s. It is okay to be single in your 40s. It is just okay.
Agreed.
Yes.
Great. Well, that was wonderful. Thanks so much for coming on. And I am pumped for next week when we get into the yummy, juicy, drama-filled personal lives of a therapist. So stay tuned, listeners, for next week. Allison and Amanda are coming back, and we're going to talk about their personal lives, and mine as well, about dating. Obviously, I've kind of, you know, drone on about myself all the time on the show, so you probably don't want to hear about me, but we'll definitely talk a little bit. Now, don't go crazy. Don't get your hopes up. We're not going to, like, talk about, like, they're not going to read their diaries or anything, okay? But we are going to talk a little bit about, you know, personal experience and have they used online dating apps, and what are those experiences like? So, you're going to have to stop listening at some point to this podcast because it's going to end, but don't go away. Wait patiently for a week, stomach through Valentine's Day, and next Monday, you'll have this episode. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
That was so fantastic having Allison and Amanda on the show. Thank you both so much for being here. And next week, don't you worry, we're going to have a great episode with a very, very fun conversation. I want to end this episode a little different than we normally do. Rather than do a tip of the day, we want to do just kind of a thought. This interview was packed full of a lot of wonderful ideas and tips and resources. So I really just want to kind of leave you with a thought that if you are lonely in the world, if you feel lonely today or tomorrow, or if you felt lonely at all this week, if you're single or in a relationship, it doesn't matter. If you feel lonely, be lonely. It's okay to be lonely. It's okay to feel lonely every once in a while. Because it's part of what makes us human. The need, the desire, the want to be connected with others. We often feel alone. And that's okay. So don't fight it too much. Just know that today you're lonely, and maybe you'll be a little lonely tomorrow, but you are right where you're supposed to be. And that's all you need right now. Just be comfortable being alone. Accept yourself, love yourself, and choose to be alone. Choose to accept that path. And maybe that might make a big difference for you. So until next week, until next time, this is For Self-Examination, and I'm your host, Dr. Christopher Taylor.